declaration to God right now. So shout out really loud. God, show me more of you. My heart is open. My ears are alert. And I pray I'll never be the same. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, why don't you take your seat? We're going to get into this. I've been loving the theme we're in at the moment. Do you even Bible? Do you even Bible? Took me a little bit to get my head around this theme. I know it's got a question mark and it's pretty simple for most, but do you even Bible? It's not saying do you read the Bible. It's saying are you into the Bible? It's not saying do you read and tick off a box. It's asking if you get revelation from reading the Word of God. It's not do you read the Word and agree with the Word because it's truth, but do you apply the Word to your life? Do you even Bible? Do you live and breathe it? Do you study it? And, you know, I realized about probably 12 years ago, I was praying, God, how am I going to impact this world? One of me, really big world, and how am I going to impact the world? And I started to realize that there's just so much knowledge on planet Earth right now, and it's so easy to get. You just jump on Google, right, and just type something in, and you get a bit of knowledge. And there's a lot of wisdom, and people say a lot of things. And I came to realize that I have to know truth. I'm not about truth and not know someone who knows truth or have a great pastor who I can refer. I have to actually, if I'm going to change and speak life and bring the light of Jesus, I actually need to know the Word of God. So it was at that time that I stopped reading the Bible and I started studying the Word. And I think that's the difference. And I think God's calling us as a church to just get a little bit more into the Bible, to search it out in context and to ask people. You know, quite often, you know, especially when I'm preparing messages, I shoot a few people emails and say, hey, what's your revelation? People I trust, by the way, but what's your revelation on this? And what have you ever learned through studying this or this and that? And I get all their feedback because I trust these people and they're wise people. And then I do my own study and I'm Holy Spirit showing me. You know, do we Bible? Do we even Bible? Do we get right into it? And so I love this theme. And, you know, quite often we say and people say things that sounds like the Bible, but it's not quite the Bible. Have you ever done that? Sometimes we've even formed our own speech as though we know the Bible backwards, you know, backwards and inside out. But the truth is a lot of what we say isn't actually in the Bible. Sounds like, it sounds morally good, it's noble. It kind of half lines up with what the scripture or that particular verse was. And we've got this little phrase that we might use to counsel people or just as a stake in the ground for our own lives that sounds like it comes from the Word of God, but it actually doesn't. And, when we challenge ourselves with a lot of our sayings and things that we form our world with, when we start to challenge and go back to the Word of God and actually seek it out in context and things like that, we might realize that what we foundationally have in our world and what we speak out is actually different in the Bible in its truth, in its depths. And so I think a lot of us, and I'm guilty, like from the top to the bottom here, I'm completely guilty. I've counseled people with great noble sayings that haven't actually quite been actually what the Bible says. Or, you know, sometimes I've set my own life up in this way. And sometimes I've appeared righteous because I've had these stances and things like that. You know, and sometimes it comes out in my general conversation. I'm guilty as anybody. But the thing is we all just must constantly go back to the Word of God and seek out the truth. If you've had things in your life that you find that you speak a lot and you refer it to being the words of God or from the Bible, just make sure every couple of years you go back in that Bible and you just restudy out the root of what that is actually saying. Because you'll be interested to see how things shift over time and how we use things to set ourselves up as opposed to what the Word actually says. So we're going to look at something, a phrase, a statement that is wiping across the planet right now. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove this with a few stats. And it's a statement that you've probably said, I've definitely said, and a lot of the church is starting to embrace, but it's not biblical at all. And we're going to have a look at this this morning. But before we do, I just need to set myself up a little bit. So we're going to read what Jesus said from John 16, 7 to 13. You with me? Oh, excellent. All right, this is what Jesus said. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, say helper. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will, not you and I, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So what we have here is we have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, and as helper, he guides us into our life. He guides us, you know, our steps are prepared by the Lord, and he guides our way. He is our helper and our guide. And, you know, at the end of the message today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually create an opportunity here for people to respond to God this morning. And because there's people that are sitting here today that you've been needing help in your life and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've been crying out for answers in your world. And the revelation today is that God is your helper, that Jesus is your helper, that the Holy Spirit is your helper. And he wants to be in your life, helping you through this journey of life. And so I'm going to create an opportunity for you later in the service, and also for the rest of us. I'm going to create an opportunity for us just to bring ourselves before God and say, God, help me in this area of my life, whatever that may be for you. So be ready for that. So do you want to hear what the phrase is that I'm referring to? So the phrase is, God helps those that help themselves. God helps those that help themselves. You don't have to put your hand up, but I'm guilty of using this one. And so here's some stats. Pollster George Barna from America, he says 75% of Americans, including 40% of born-again Christians, agree with this unbiblical statement. He said his survey exposes that Americans believe that God is our assistant and not our foundation. The phrase topped a poll of the most widely known Bible verse. As 75% of American teenagers said that they believe it is the central message of the Bible. Can you believe that? So here's a little bit of history just to show where it come from. And most of us in school, we studied Aesop, who's a Greek storyteller. And he lived around 600 to 560 BC. And he wrote what's known as the Aesopian fable, Hercules and the Wagner. And I'll just read it a little bit to you. A Wagner was once driving a heavy load along a very muddy way. At last, he came to a part of the road where the wheels sank halfway into the mire. And the more the horses pulled, the deeper sunk the wheels. And then it goes on a little bit and it finishes by saying, but Hercules appeared to him and said, "Tut, man, don't sprawl there." I wish I had the accent to go with it. "Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves." That's where it comes from. But we all know the American president, Benjamin Franklin, in 1733, he made this saying famous. And he wrote, he was a writer as well as a president, and he wrote Paul Richard's Almanac. And he used the saying there as well. But you'd be interested to know that he was actually a deist, which is the belief in a supreme being who remains unknowable and untouchable. Does that sound like our God? Nope. You would also be interested to know that it's in the Quran. This is what it sounds like in the Quran. "Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of people until they change what is in themselves." Does that sound like our God? Nope. So this is a statement that might sound noble and sounds reasonable, but in fact is not even biblical. And it has become a misrepresentation of the Bible to our current generation. Even the church has started to embrace this thinking that leads to self-reliance and not God-reliance. See, the truth is that God is our helper. God is the one person that is always there for us. The Bible says He will never leave us and never forsake us. So what's true is that God is love, and that the love that we so often need. That God is the love that is pure and it's unconditional for us. That sounds like my God. So God is our helper. And, you know, we all need as much help as we can get. Isn't that true? I know in my life I need as much help. That's where my wife comes in. She really helps me understand things and see things. And we need as much help as we can possibly. So this is what Jesus said in John 15. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." See, we can't do anything fruitful in our life without God. And that's the truth. See, we may accomplish things, even have moments of satisfaction in our world, but the fruit that brings life inside of us, the fruit that brings peace inside of us, the fruit that brings wholeness inside of us is only achieved with and through God and His Spirit. There is nothing we need to do to make God help us. He is already willing to help. In fact, He already has, because He sent His Son, and then He sent His Spirit for us to be our helper. That's what the Bible says. So I figure if the poll shows 75% of teenagers believe God helps those that help themselves to be the central message of the Bible, I'm kind of figuring that we have a little bit of work to do as the church. Yeah. And, you know, we can do things too. By studying the Word of God and identifying the truth in the Word of God, we can start to speak the truth. We can start to speak life into our kids. That's where it starts, is with our families. We can speak into our kids, our spouses, our family members, you know, in our schools. You know, the deeper we get into the Word of God, the deeper we understand the voice of God. Yeah. And that might confuse you a little bit. It confused me for many years. Because when we think of the voice of God, we think audible. Because that's what, when we say voice, we think of what we hear audibly. But when we read the Word of God, the Bible says that the Spirit of God brings revelation through His Word. Actually, the Bible says that the Word of God is foolishness to a person who doesn't have the Spirit. Yeah. It's just a novel that doesn't make sense and is complicated. But to you and I, we have the Spirit of God. If you're here as a Christian today, you have the Spirit of God. If you're not a Christian today, you can have the Spirit of God. And with the Spirit of God, every time you open those pages, say, "Holy Spirit, show me truth." Yeah. And simply just read. And you'll be surprised what's happening in the spirit man. Truth is starting to come. And when you, the more we read the Word and study the Word and pull it apart and find the truth of the Word of God, the more that we are able to hear something that is not true, and we go, "That does not sound like my Father in heaven. That is not quite right." And we'll discover in a moment that the devil did this with Adam and Eve, remember, in the garden? And it wasn't quite right, but it was almost right what he said. And Adam and Eve obviously weren't in touch with their Father quite enough to go, "That is not the truth that our Father in heaven has said to us." And so they were deceived and walked into a life of sin. But Jesus has come and redeemed us, and now through the power of the Holy Spirit, when he left, He sent His Spirit. You and I have the ability to walk knowing truth, and we do that by researching the Word of God. So that's the power of the Word of God. We've all heard people say, "I have to sort my life out before I can come to church. I need to change my ways before God will accept me." See, this is the thinking that, you know, the saying's over 2,000 years old, but the devil's just using it again in our generation, because we've all heard those two statements. We've all heard them at work, and it's just not true, and we can speak life into that. We do need to look after ourselves for sure, and we've got to prepare ourselves. The Bible says to study and to show yourself approved, but it's never without God. I know a lot of you right now are sitting there, all the theologians in the congregation, and scriptures are coming to your mind where the Bible says that we need to help ourselves and prove ourselves and all that. But this is the thing, when you study out any of those scriptures, it's never without the Holy Spirit and His empowering, which means God is our helper so that we can help ourselves. And what the world does is they try to shift that and say, help yourself so that he can be your helper. But the truth is he made the first move. See, he made that first move. And he sent his son for you before you were even born, which means it will happen before your time. Which means any sin that you ever do was already paid for, the price was paid for 2,000 years ago before you could have even made that sin. Because this is the truth. This is what it looked like. You want to see what it looked like in heaven a while ago, thousands of years ago? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So guys, I'm going to create earth. Oh, that sounds like a fantastic plan. And so when we do this, we're going to create this amazing planet. But I want them to have free will because I want them to love me and to worship me on their own free will. I want this to be genuine. Just as much as I create them because I want to love them, I want them to love me back just as much. So this is what we're going to do, is we're going to put an avenue for all of us to be in that garden. So we're going to make two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that way, in that garden, because in me, theologically, there is good and evil. In me, I have the ability to separate myself 100% from evil. But the Bible says that all things are created in and through God. All things, hell included, sin included. Because God is the one that made the two trees. And one of them was the knowledge of good and evil. So within our Father God, see, we can't understand this because this is way beyond our comprehension. But in God, he is 100%, we can't understand that, but he is 100% able to separate himself. But we are not. And so the trees were there, and he knew that if we were to eat of that tree, that yes, we would be more like God, okay, but we would not be able to separate ourselves from evil as only God can. Yeah. So I'm going to make this plan and I want them to worship me completely with all they are. Jesus, they're not going to be able to do it. Holy Spirit, they're not going to. Will use, make a way for them. When they eat that apple, will use, make a way for them to come back to me. For the ones that choose me, will you make a. God, Father, I'm in. Holy Spirit, Jesus, when you come, I'll come. And I'll empower them to be able to do what you do for them. So here we are. Earth is created. And Jesus has to come. And he lives a life just like all the temptations we have. Died on the cross, rose again in victory and power so that you and I can rise again into a new life. And then when he left, he said, it's better that I go because the Spirit can come and he can empower you and be your helper. He can help you to live in all truth and to all knowledge so that you can be with the Father in heaven when you die. And right here on earth, you can be victorious and an overcomer, walking in the power, the might, and the authority that the Spirit of God is going to give you. So that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil twists our words and he twists God's words and he's twisting words on this planet now like God helps those that help themselves. What he's doing is he's grabbing truth and he's twisting it to look like truth, to look noble, but it actually leads us into condemnation. It leads us back to a works-based mentality that Paul in the early church fought so much to destroy because there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that we can do that makes God love us more than what he already does. There's nothing we can do to draw forgiveness. Forgiveness is already there for us. We just got to walk in it and accept it through faith. There's nothing we can do, but the devil is trying to say, help yourself before God will help you, and that is so not true. In the Garden of Eden, let's read what Genesis 3 says. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? God said that. That's true. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said, the devil said to the woman, you will not surely die. Well, that was true too, because after this, they were still living. But this was a spiritual thing, not a natural thing. And the devil had turned their eyes off the spiritual, or off God the Father, to the natural, the apple which they could see before them. So they didn't die right there and then in the natural. So the devil was telling the truth. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. That is also true. And you will be like God. That's true, knowing good and evil. That is true as well. The devil didn't lie here anywhere. He told some half-truths though, didn't he? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked. Sin entered the world. See, the devil twisted God's words. And what he did is he took their eyes off the spiritual to the natural, the here and now, the tree. Sins like this. Sins like this. Often we know what spiritually we should be doing or should not be doing. But in that moment, the devil takes our eyes off the promises, the blessing, the favor in your world, that you're a son and a daughter of God. All these things, don't they? They disappear for that one moment. And we see the here and the now, and we walk in sin. And then what happens is we walk in sin, and the devil's crafty. After we do that, we realize what we did was wrong. So then he fills us with guilt. But we read in the Bible before, I didn't point it out to you, is in the home scripture today, we read that, here, I'm going to read it to you because this is really, really, really good. I love this. It changed my life. So then he came, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, the saints, sin, for the of sin for the sinners, convict the world of righteousness, that's for the saints, and of judgment for the enemy. Here, I'll prove it. Of sin, because they do not believe in me, non-Christians. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, that's the church. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged, that's the devil. You see, God doesn't make you feel guilty of your sin. Why would he make you feel guilty of your sin if Jesus that died before you 2,000 years ago has already washed your sin away? Therefore, there is no sin or condemnation in the name of Jesus Christ. So the devil comes and makes the church feel guilty of sin when we are not sinners. Every now and then we do the acts of sin. I've preached this before. This is so good. Every now and then we do the acts of sin, which was from our flesh nature, our sin nature, but our spirit man is born again, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so when every now and then when we walk in our sin nature, what happens is we then realize after that moment that the devil twisted the words and took away who you are in Christ, after that moment and we sin, the guilt comes upon us, which tries to push us further from the truth, further from our loving God. When the truth is the arms of Jesus are open and he says, I see what you did, but I've already washed you clean. Come to me in my provision. Come to me in my promise. Come to me because I'm the light and the love of God the Father in heaven. He has made a way for us to walk, and it's through redemption in the eyes and through faith and through Jesus Christ. I love it. Man, I'm all over my notes. They're just everywhere. So here we are in the Garden of Eden, and the devil again has twisted the words of God. See, he told half-truths to Adam and Eve, and in their flesh mind, they could not determine what the Father said and what the difference is with what the devil said. And they said, well, that's true. And he goes, well, eat then. Sweet. They ate, and then sin entered. And that's what's happening in this world. That's what's happening in our thinking sometimes with our theology when we allow these sayings become such a crust in who we are, and that we allow them to become such a center point in our speech, in our belief, and the way we walk and conduct our worlds. And I think it's so healthy that we challenge ourselves. I challenge myself all the time. You know, the truth is I was talking to a rabbi the other day, and We're just talking about how we approach the Word of God. And he actually said to me, he said, Graham, I love that as a Pentecostal, he's a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, as a Pentecostal, you come to the Word of God like it's the first time, every time. And he said, I like that your thinking is so open that God can continually give you revelation. And it's true, I love that. I love that gift that God's given me, that every time I can come to the Word of God, it's as though I've never read this before. And I say, God, give me fresh revelation. Then he does, and I go, wow, I thought it was that. I've been doing it wrong the whole time. And he just gives me revelation. It's just so powerful. You know, we are God's masterpiece. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 9 to 10, salvation is not a reward of good things that we have done. So none of us can boast of it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do good things he planned for us long ago. I like that. It makes me think of my car. Everyone knows that I'm into cars. And I've shared my story a few times. But when I was young, in my youth, I did up my car. Now, it was classed as a daily driving show car. So it was a daily like show car quality car. Everything was perfect. And I would wash it 3 times a week, polish it at least once a week. I never drove it out with mates unless it was perfectly clean and just perfect. I would even get under it before we'd go driving Thursday nights, and I'd readjust all the suspension to make sure the heights were right. And like it was perfect. It was my masterpiece. And yeah, I know it's a bit addictive and it's all that, but I get it. Okay, God's delivered me. Just leave me alone. And inside, outside, underneath, everything. I mean, I used to even wash my exhaust system and just nuts. I'd get under there and the gearbox just in case someone just wanted to know a bit about my gearbox and I had to show them so it was clean and ready. And but anyway, I was a bit addictive. And the truth is a day came where the car, because I drove it, it actually had a few scratches and dents on it and chips in the paint, and that wasn't good enough. So I would repaint my whole car, inside out, engine bay, the whole lot. And I did it twice, and I was on the third time just before I sold it. I had already repainted the engine bay and everything. And the car was perfect because it was my trophy. It was my masterpiece. And often we view God from this type of concept. We treat our understanding of God like this. We think God can't help us because we have sinned. In other words, we have scratches on our life. Because we have lived a bad life, we have a few rust areas in our body. Because we have walked through divorce. Because our minds are tormented, like I've spoken a bit about this morning. We often view ourselves as the car and God as the owner that won't love us until we are perfect. God helps those that help themselves. In other words, we've got to be perfect before he can help us. But God already thinks you are perfect. That's why he sent his one and only son, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is our perfection and that you are his righteousness. You are his crown and glory, the Bible says. So the truth is that God is our helper. Amen? You know, just looking at this whole thing and what sometimes we take on in our world as our truths that really aren't in the Bible, it makes me question myself, Graham, do you even Bible? You know, does it make you think to yourself this morning, man, do I even Bible? Like I read it every day and I tick off my box and I'm doing the Bible in a Year program, but do I really Bible? Do I get into that thing and study it? You know, something that I'm proud of my father is that nearly every time if I go over our house, you know, around 7:30 at night, 8 o'clock, after the dinner, news, maybe a bit of Home and Away, my father's in the... Yeah, I just let it out. Sorry, Dad. My father's in the spare bedroom down the back on the desk, and he's pulling the Word of God. Every day in the bus as he drives, listens to Hebrew teachings, you know, to pull apart the Word of God. Do you even Bible? Do you know the truth of who Jesus is and who our loving Father really is? If I could have the worship team come up and join me. God is our helper. You're a child of God and he loves you unconditionally. You know, here's the truth. If you're in this church this morning, Christian or not Christian, you're still a child of God. You don't have to be a Christian to be a child of God. He created you. You're his child. But what he does want you to do is he wants you to walk in partnership with him. He wants you to extend your faith and accept him and receive him as your God, as your heavenly Father. And when we do that, we walk in this partnership with God that transforms our life, not from the outside. He transforms our life from the inside. If you're here as a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Transforms our life from the inside. You know, when you feel vulnerable, you can call on God to be your refuge and your strength. Psalms tells us that. If you feel like you don't know where you're going in life, Proverbs says to lean on him and not on your own understanding so he can direct your path. If you're desperate to know and understand truth, Matthew tells us to ask God and he will give it to you. If you're longing for a mentoring father relationship, the book of Psalms says that God is the helper to the fatherless. If you feel as though you need spiritual protection in your world, Bible says to call on the Lord. He is our hiding place to protect us from all trouble. I love that scripture. He made a way. God is perfect. God is holy. He's pure. And next week we're going to sing a new song in this church written by City Point North called Majesty, because he's majestic in all of his ways. Even though he's all that, perfect, holy, pure, righteous, powerful, life-changeable. Like he can, is that a word? I don't know. It's a new word. He can change our lives. He can transform a person. He can redeem a person. His church is alive and overtaking the planet with truth and love. Our God is all this, yet he made a way for us. He made a way for us. Jesus made a way for you. If you're broken, to be healed. If you're hurting, to be loved. If you're longing, to be whole. If you're thirsty, to be filled. The Holy Spirit is here to strengthen you, to guide you, to counsel you, and to empower you. And God wants to fill you with love, with joy, with peace, and with goodness, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Before we move forward, I just want to make an opportunity right now. There's people here that you don't know God as your Lord and Savior, and he wants to be in relationship with you. And the truth is he's your helper. He's not just your helper in the time of need. He's your helper in every area and every moment of your life if you would receive him to be that help. The Holy Spirit is truly able to be your best friend. You know those times in life where we have nobody? We've all walked through times in our life where we feel like we're all alone. The Holy Spirit is your best friend in those moments. Many, many, many times I have just felt like I'm alone on this planet, but I can call out to the Holy Spirit and say, help, help me. There's many times that I've had to conquer things in my world. And my wife can give me all the great counsel. She can help me change a few habits on the outside. But that inner healing, that inner change, that inner peace that is beyond understanding, the Bible says, the peace of God, that inner stuff, no one can help except for the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. And you might be here today and you don't know who he is, but he wants to know you. In fact, here's the truth right now. In fact, forever, he's been longing to be close and intimate with you, in relationship with you. There's a love that is unconditional, that is 100% pure, and is that absolutely fulfilling to us as human beings, and it's the love of Jesus Christ. So today, if that's you, church, can we close our eyes? If that's you in this place, could you lift your hand? If you want to know this God, if you want to know this love, could you lift your hand right now just boldly? I'm not going to ask you at the front, but I just want to know who I'm about to pray with. So if you could just lift your hand, I'm just going to look around one more time. Boldly lift your hand right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Excellent. Church, why don't we all stand right now? I'm just going to do one more thing before we go. We're nice and early, so the coffee can wait. I believe there's people here this morning, and you've known God, you know God, you love God, you hear about healings and you believe in it all, you have all that faith, but the truth is you've never asked God to help you in the situation that you need help with right now. Today is God calling you to call upon His name, to ask Him. So if that's you, just close your eyes where you are. Maybe lift your hands just to God and just ask God for your help in this circumstance, in that area of your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, Lord God. Thank you for your blessing, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone here and it's you have torment. Internal torment. It's not that you're possessed or there's devils or even that you don't love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all this. But there's turmoil inside of you. I kind of see it like a relationship between your soul and your mind. And this is what I believe, is I believe that the enemy has been able to twist your thinking of who you are in Jesus Christ. That you are not worthy of healing, that you are not worthy of provision, that you are not worthy of favor, but none of these are further than from the truth. Because the truth is God, the Bible says that He set us free to be free. In other words, He didn't just save you to be saved. He saved you to walk in freedom and liberty. And for you, it's just a matter right now of just saying, God, help. Holy Spirit, will you just come and help me? The band's just going to start worshiping right now behind. If that's you this morning, I just want, church, why don't we all lift our hands right now in the presence of God? Just start to cry out to God. God, be my helper, be my strength. Restorer, Redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Holy Spirit. Will you move in this place this morning, Holy Spirit? Father, right now I speak freedom where there's condemnation, freedom. Father, we thank you that you are our helper in the time of need, and you're our helper in our everyday life to walk in victory and prosperity and in freedom. Father, your word says that your anointing breaks the yoke. So, Father, right now I pray that the yoke would be broken. In Jesus' name. Guys, I just believe this morning that as Mel was up here doing the transition, I'm praying for a friend of mine to come to God. And as we were praying, I saw this hedge around their life, and it's the sword of the Spirit pierced it, and light was able to get through. And then that was the first service. In the second service, the gap was wider because God is doing an amazing work. And Mel said this morning that on this church, we're going to start to see sons and daughters coming back. Right now, can we just pray as a church that the Spirit of God would help, that the Spirit of God would strengthen, that the authority that you have will no longer be authority that we just pray like in our flesh, but it'll be authority infused and empowered with the Almighty God through the Spirit of God. Father, right now we just pray for every person praying for somebody to come to Jesus in this church. That you, through your Spirit, would pierce through that wall in Jesus' name. Father, you are the light of the world. And where the light is, darkness can be no more. So, Father, we speak in the name of Jesus that your anointing would come and pierce and break that yoke that would bind them, Lord God. That, Father, has put a hedge of deception around their world. That there is a hedge, Lord God, around their world that would deceive them from the truth. But you have put prayers, You have put believers in their world that would pray and believe and speak life in the power and the authority of Jesus in your name. Amen. Church, if you believe it, why don't we give God a shout of praise right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's a mighty God doing amazing things, isn't he? Well, we're going to go out rejoicing right now. Can I encourage you, go out in the cafe, buy some.